All right, Merry Christmas, everyone. We're going to say that for real in about an hour, okay? So hopefully get ready here. But welcome to our 11 p.m. candlelight Christmas Eve service. It is great to have you all here. You are the brave, the strong, the incredible. And so we give you lots of props for being here. But tonight our service will have a sense of order about it. In that sense, that's what liturgy means, and that we'll be having these different readings, lessons, and carols, as well as some prayers that we'll be saying together. So hopefully in your bulletins, you see this little card, and this little card will walk you through the service, as well as it has the prayers that we'll be reading together. But this is the season of Advent, and this service really takes you through the entire season of Advent within 1 hour. And we know that what Advent means. If you've been around a little bit at Calvary this month, you know that what Advent means. It means coming or arrival. And it is this sense of longing for the coming and the arrival of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we celebrate. And we have this wreath here, and this wreath will be part of our service tonight, where the wreath is a symbol in and of itself. It's a circle that represents the infinite nature of God, his endless mercies. It's green to represent renewal, that we are new creations because of Jesus. There's candles because that represents that Jesus is the light of the world, and he's called us to be a light to our world. And then there's four candles on the outside on the circle, and those four candles represent the four Sundays of Advent. And that represents the four centuries, the 400 years that came between the prophet Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, leading up to the New Testament when we have the birth of Jesus and what we celebrate tonight and tomorrow. And so the center candle that you see in the middle, that's actually called the Christ candle. And we'll just light that at the very end of our service tonight to represent Jesus. Jesus, God, very God, who has come and lived as a human being, fully God, fully man, and lived the life that we couldn't live. Lived that perfect life. And died on the cross for our sins and rose again in power and victory over sin and death. Let me read to you, and then we'll stand and sing in just a moment. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you so much for Christmas and the gift of Jesus Christ. For in him we find everything. Lord, we find all of our hope, peace, joy, and love, God. And I pray tonight our hearts and our minds would be impacted deeply just by the beautiful good news of Jesus come, Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Oh, come, let us adore him. be seated. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt around his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist.
Candle represents hope. When God created people, everything was perfect. He was with his people, and all was right in creation. But the enemy came as a serpent, and he tricked Adam and Eve into eating this fruit and breaking this perfect relationship that they had with the Lord. When Adam and Eve did this, it broke their relationship with the Lord in a way that it was just completely damaged. And yet our God is loving and gracious. And in that moment, he gave hope and he said, one day a Savior will come and he will crush the head of the enemy. Someday a Savior would come and restore what had been broken. Thousands of years pass. The Lord's people have experienced good things, good kings and miracles, but they've also experienced a lot of hardships. They've experienced exile and persecution. They kept their hope. This hope is not a wish, it's a waiting with certainty for what is to come. We heard from Isaiah, and when he spoke, it was 700 years before Jesus came, and he says, speaking for the Lord, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. There is another prophet named Jeremiah, and he said, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. See, the Jews of Jesus' time, they were surrounded by Rome. They were occupied by a foreign government who was forcing them to act and try to have these laws that were to honor Rome and not to honor the Lord. They were waiting for a powerful Jewish king to rise up. Their hope was that this king would come and overthrow the Roman government. And yet they didn't understand that what Isaiah and Jeremiah and other prophets had prophesied was that the hope was not for a government takeover. The hope was that a Savior would come and redeem all people to God forever. We can wait with certainty, with full hope, that God will fulfill all he has promised. Will you join me as we pray aloud as one? Jesus, we hope for you and welcome you. Small child of Bethlehem, whose coming we await with quiet attention. Shield us from the shouts, the screams, the empty promises of the season, and encourage us to turn our hopes to your coming. We know that the promise is hidden in the stable in Bethlehem and rooted in the offspring of Jesse. Let us look for our salvation there. Amen.
The light was shining in the darkness, and the darkness won't understand. The light was shining in the darkness, and the light is the Son of Man. For He was there in the beginning and remains to the end of days. The light He brings is the light of man, and is filled with truth and grace. The light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness won't understand. The light will shine in the darkness, and the light is Jesus, and His light is with us.
Sweet. 40, 1 through 5. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And from Luke 1, 67 to 79. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sun rise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
The second candle is Prepare the Way. On December 10th, Pastor Matt Davis called it the Peace Candle. We're going to talk about it from the same perspective, but we're calling it Prepare the Way because we're focusing on the messenger that God sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. God had chosen Israel to be his covenant people, but they broke that covenant, disobeyed him, and they fell into sin. Because of that, God took away their land and sent them into captivity. It was so bad that the glory of the Lord departed the temple. Pastor Matt Davis, when he was talking about the Messiah, there was a need for a Messiah because Israel had sinned and had moved away from the Lord and needed a Savior so that they could return to the Lord. But he talked about, in Jewish tradition, there's two Messiahs. There's the Messiah of suffering called Messiah ben Joseph. And then there's the Messiah who is the reigning king, Messiah ben David. And in Jewish tradition, they couldn't put these two together. And because of that, when Jesus came, they missed it. They were expecting a conquering king. But he came as Messiah ben Joseph. And even though the glory of the Lord had departed the temple, Jesus came to the temple and they didn't recognize him. And because of that, God had sent a messenger to prepare the way. John the Baptist was that messenger. And it's interesting that we talk about the silence from the book of Malachi until the coming of Jesus of being 400 years. So Malachi himself in chapter 3, verse 1 says this, Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And even though Malachi had warned them, when Jesus came, they missed it. So tonight, as we think about this, we want to prepare our hearts. Now, Jesus came in his first coming in humility. That was the Messiah ben Joseph, the Jewish tradition understood. But he's also coming again as a conquering king in his second coming. And I want to ask the question tonight. Have we received the salvation that was offered by Jesus in his first coming? Are we ready for him to come in his second? Are we longing for that day when Jesus comes again as the conquering king, as the judge of the whole earth, and makes all things right? Revelation tells us that at that day, God will dry every tear and he will make all things new. We've been talking all season about the longing of Advent. And as we are longing for the coming of Jesus the King to come, are we ready? Is there anything that we need to do to prepare for his coming? If you haven't yet received salvation, you need to repent and turn to Christ. Are we so wrapped up in our day-to-day, everyday experiences that we're not really ready for the second coming? Is there anything that is standing in the way in our hearts tonight as we're preparing to worship our Lord and our King? As we think about the coming of Christ in Christmas, we need to hold both the first coming and the second coming together in our minds and realize as we worship him tonight, we are longing for the coming of the King.
Let's pray this prayer together under the second candle. God of mercy, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to obey their warnings and repent of our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. The soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Here,
your program, just flip to the backside now as we begin the third candle. Reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he's exalted those who were humble. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He's given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever."
This pink candle represents joy. Joy, that almost indescribable feeling fully experienced in the presence of God as we follow his path for our lives. It had been 400 years of silence, and then God spoke, and his word became flesh and dwelt among us. The angel Gabriel told Mary that she'd found favor with God and had been chosen to give birth to a son. His name would be Jesus, the Son of God, King of Kings, Emmanuel, God with us. And Mary believed what the angel had said. It began as a flutter, but soon Mary began to feel him kick an elbow, a knee, a somersault that made her queasy all over. Mary was growing a baby, but from that moment of miraculous conception, the pregnancy was different than any other. For Mary was experiencing the living presence of an incarnate God in her body. The author of joy itself was living inside of her. She could barely contain it. Early in her pregnancy, Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And upon greeting Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. Unable to contain her feelings, Mary burst out in a song of praise to God, singing, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Tonight, we celebrate the arrival of Jesus to the world so many years ago. And as we wait for Jesus to come again, we invite his spirit to dwell in us and experience the joy that only he can give. Will you read this congregational prayer with me? O God, who has caused this holy night to shine with the illumination of the true light, grant us, we pray, that as we have known the mystery of that light upon earth, so may we also perfectly enjoy him in heaven, where you live and reign forever in everlasting glory. Amen.
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken in all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of David and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then. Let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told.
Fourth candle represents love, I think specifically expressed by God's desire to want to be with us. I love Luke 2. I love the detail and the attention that Luke gives to us for us to consider. Specifically, I want to pay some attention to the shepherds. The shepherds, I think I saw two things happen with the shepherds. The first is they receive a message. And the second, I think, a little more important, not only do they receive a message, but they experience that message as true. Luke tells us that this message from the angels is this: glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, because in the city of David, a Savior, your Savior, has been born. He's been born, the Christ, the Lord. He's real, and he's here, living and breathing on this earth. I love Luke tells us that the shepherds go in a hurry, wasting absolutely no time, because they need to see what the Lord has made known to them. They need to see him with their own eyes. They need to experience the realness of his presence for themselves. And they get there, and they see him and can't help. They can't help but share, "Y'all, this really is him. Christ the Lord, God is actually with us." I love the details Luke offers us, because I think it's important for us to grasp that that message is for us to be experienced too. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is actually with us, the shepherds, the world, you and I. We can know that peace exists because God refuses to withhold himself from us. Instead, he actually offers himself, his presence, his love in a very real way for us to experience. And I think that's important. I have a 3-year-old nephew. He is one of my favorite people on the actual planet. And what I've noticed about this guy is I'm learning a lot about the way life operates just by watching him. I don't know if you've been around a toddler at all, ever. They love to be held. So just pick me up, please hold me, pick me up. And who am I to tell the cutest kid in the world, no, I'm just not gonna do it. And so I pick him up and I'm holding him. And I can't help but wonder, why? Why do you wanna be held? What does this actually do for you other than make my arms tired? And I just figured it out. I just figured it out last week. I realized he likes the experience of being close to someone that loves him. He likes to experience someone being close to him. I can tell him all day long that I love him. But as a 3-year-old, he gets that experiencing love is better. My prayer for him, my prayer for us, you and I, is that we don't just experience this reality, that we don't just read the reality of God being with us, because Luke 2 tells us that we actually experience it. Can you read this prayer with me under the fourth candle? Oh God, who makes us glad as we remember each year the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ, grant that as we joyfully receive him for our Redeemer, so may we also with confidence see him when he comes to be our judge, who lives and reigns with you, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In this next carol, you'll notice that there'll be folks coming down the aisles lighting your candles. So be looking for that to happen and help your neighbor out by lighting theirs as well.
Silent night, holy night.
keep your candles lit. We're here at, I guess, what we could call the fifth candle, which is the Christ candle. And the Christ candle you'll see over here is at the center because the incarnation, which means God, very God, coming into flesh on earth, God, fully man, living as one of us. That incarnation is the heart of this season. And Jesus is the light of the world, the reason we celebrate. And so we light this now because we are almost there. We are minutes away from it actually being Christmas. So let me light this candle and then read a passage of scripture for us now. Keep our candles lit as we hear from John 1, 9 to 18. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth given and realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, that's Jesus, he has explained him." Jesus, the light of the world. So let's now, as we have the Christ candle lit, we can extinguish our flames, which does not mean we don't continue to be a light for God. So extinguish them, but I encourage you to hold them upright for the rest of the service. All right, so now let's go ahead and stand and let's sing. Let's just sing Joy to the World, okay? All right, let's do it.
All right, let's sing it with joy today.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive a king.
One more.
All right, sing Hark the Herald.
Hark the Herald, angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim Christ is born.
9:58 a.m. right now, so it's already happened. So just kidding about all this. just kidding. But hey, we have been here and we have celebrated all of these and learned these amazing lessons of each of these moments, each of these weeks of Advent, of hope, of peace and preparing the way, of joy and of love, that God is actually with us. So amazing that God is with us. And we celebrate. And so I just am so excited for you to continue to celebrate that we are here literally seconds away from it being Christmas Day. And we will in a moment be able just to shout that out to each other, Merry Christmas. And then we can go and shout that out to all of our friends and neighbors when we get home, you know, at 12:15. So I just say thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of this celebration. And let's all shout together on the count of three, Merry Christmas. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Merry Christmas! It's actually here. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thanks for coming. God bless you.